Welcome to Baby Boomers Radio, a celebration of the greatest generation, boomers and seniors. Here we talk about current events, politics, food, health and wellness, shopping, entertainment, history, scams, and even technology. Boomers and seniors talking with and about seniors and boomers. Click on the subscribe button and get notice of new episodes as they are published. Click the share button and invite your friends to partake in the friendly conversations. Welcome to Baby Boomers Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Also, thanks for sharing. I've seen a major uptick in the number of folks who are tuning in and downloading these episodes on a regular basis. Now, I do still get a lot of questions. Well, how do I listen to Baby Boomers Radio? And here's the challenge. So I run a podcast, and on that podcast, you use a program like what you're listening to download your podcast, be it iHeartRadio or Amazon Music or Spotify or Apple. All of these, there's 30 different, 40 different places where you can listen to podcast music. But the question comes down to most folks of our age and older, we're not used to this tech stuff. So the idea of listening to a podcast, everybody now has heard of podcasting. They don't know necessarily the full technology, but they know it's kind of like internet radio and it's on demand. They just don't know how to listen to it. So when you're sharing the episode with your friends, the easiest thing to do is on the app that you're listening to this episode right now on, usually in the upper right-hand corner on an iPhone. I'm not sure where the share button is on an Android, but there's a share button. On the Apple, it's a little square with an arrow that's pointing up. If you click on that share button, it's going to share the current episode that you're listening to. And I suggest you text message the link to your friend. Because when they get that message on their cell phone, it is by default going to open up their podcast player to listen to the episode. So if you're listening to this podcast for the first time using that method, somebody just texted you a link and you're listening to my voice now, somewhere on your screen, there's going to be a subscribe button. If you click on that subscribe button, every time an episode is published on Baby Boomers Radio, you'll get notification and it'll automatically be downloaded to your cell phone. That way you can listen to it whenever you want, wherever you want. You don't even have to have an internet connection in order to listen to it. You know, technology is kind of an interesting dilemma for those of us who are older. Now me, I've been technologically proficient pretty much my entire life. I was really interested in computers as they were coming out, and I tinkered with desktops when they were released. I was a kid that was typing in programs out of magazines and in order to get full use out of the computer. So I've always been what one would call tech savvy. In fact, my grandkids, I was after them constantly to take computer classes and computer programming and animation and just learn how to use this computer for something other than playing video games. But they didn't, and they're not proficient at all. So those boomers I hear who say, oh, I'm just too old to use a computer, phooey, the millennials aren't any better. My goodness, some of these millennials are just downright computer dumb. They might have a little bit more, inhibition. They may be just a little freer to try things on a computer. Because you and I, we see that computer as an expensive appliance. Where a kid, they look at that computer as just a toy. And there's no cost affiliated with it. So they just start clicking buttons. And they just start doing things. And eventually, what they want to do is done, or they break it. In our case, more often than not, we break it. So I'm going to start doing some tech tips, if you will, for Baby Boomers Radio, maybe about once a month, maybe a little less frequently. But just to kind of give you some insight into the world of tech, because there's no reason why we can't use these tools to our life benefit. So in the spirit of tech, reading out of my Greatest Science Stories Never Told book by Rick Beyer, available through or published by the History Channel, this title, this story is titled Lo and Behold. It was the year of Woodstock and the first moon landing, but the most earth-shaking event of the year may have been one that hardly anyone noticed. It involved a refrigerator-sized computer that sits today in a third-floor storage space at UCLA. The first computer on the internet. The U.S. government was funding scientific research through the Advanced Research Project Agency, better known as ARPA. But there was no way to share information between giant computers working at different sites. So the government decided to connect them on a new network called ARPANET. The first node on this new network was a switching computer called an interface message processor. It was so big, it had to be hoisted to the third floor location on a forklift. It was hooked up to UCLA's mainframe computer on September 2nd, 1969. Internet pioneer Lynn Kindlerock, who supervised the installation of the machine, says the internet took its first breath of life that day. Less than 2 months later, technicians had the computer talking over phone lines with another one at Stanford. By 1971, there were 15 computers wired together on the fledgling network that would eventually evolve into the global network we all depend on today. And the internet was born September 2nd, 1969. I was browsing AARP magazine. I got to stop right there. I never thought those words would have ever come out of my mouth. When I reached the appropriate age, of course, everybody jokes, hey, now you can join AARP. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Those are old people. I'm not going to join that group. Okay, so I didn't join the group, but I read the magazine all the time. I guess in part because I run a baby boomers radio show, I got to find good content for seniors, and AARP magazine actually has really good content. It is worth a subscription. If you subscribe to Apple News, here's tech tip number one, AARP magazine and AARP bulletin are included with that subscription. So like in my case, I think I pay $30 a month and for my Apple monthly subscription, and that gives me like 2 terabytes of storage in iCloud, meaning I can store files and share it across all of my Apple devices. It gives me iCloud backup storage, it gives me Apple News, it gives me Apple Games, it gives me Apple TV, all of those things that I use actually daily. Well, Apple News, there's like 400 magazines in there that I can read. And I subscribe to, I'm just looking at the list right here, the New Republic, the AARP Bulletin, the magazine, All Recipes, Better Home and Garden, Birds and Blooms, Consumer Reports, Reminiscence, Travel and Leisure, 9 to 5 Mac, etc., etc., etc. And I actually juggle those around seasonally, I guess, as interests change. I was always a magazine kind of guy. I used to be the guy that would go to the bookstore and just hang out at the magazine rack and read for 2 or 3 hours. I was also a kid that just went to the library to read. I was just one of those kind of people. I loved to read. That's kind of our generation. Our generation, we learned to entertain ourselves through the technology that we had available at the time. And that was books. Books and magazines. So you can get a whole bunch of magazines without having to subscribe to them. And you can get all of the past issues by just a single subscription to Apple News. So in the AARP magazine for September, there's an article called The High Price of Free Games. And this article kind of just jumped out at me because my wife and I both use our cell phones a lot. My wife, I think, uses it more than I do. Heck, she might use it more than the grandkids do. We've been at the dinner table. You know, usually you're complaining the kids are sitting there with their heads in the cell phone. No, that's grandma. Grandma's there with her head in the cell phone playing a game or reading or doing something. Well, she likes to play games. And a popular method for games now on computers might be just a little bit foreign to you. When we started getting into computers, we're used to the idea that you go buy an application, you install that application on your computer, and then you use that application. There's no additional costs for using that app. Now they have what's called freemium. Instead of premium, it's freemium. You can download the app for free. And in fact, you can play the game for free. But then they tease you constantly to pay real money in order to advance the game. Now, there's actually rules that state that you have to be able to do almost everything in the game without requiring payment. It's not a law. It's a rule. It's an industry rule. And, I haven't really met or seen games that don't follow that rule. But the idea is you should be able to play the game and get plenty of enjoyment out of it without having to pay money. But there's no rule that restricts those game programmers from hounding the hell out of you to pay money to advance the game. And usually it just goes faster. The article talks about a 65-year-old from Oakland, California, who got kind of bamboozled into this. And he says that the virtual items that made the game easy to play were costing a buck or two a piece. Well, he had racked up several hundred dollars in expenses by the end of the month without even realizing it. So you can get into trouble if you don't do this right. But my tip for today, actually, go ahead and read the article. It's a great read. It'll give you some clues on what to avoid. But if you're an Apple user, here's another reason to subscribe to that. What do they call it? I think it's One Apple. But there's also a subscription just for the games. It's like only $6 a month. It's not that bad. But you can subscribe to their games side of the equation. And their games don't have freemium models. They don't bug you for more money. The games you install from the Apple Arcade are free to use. You know, you pay the subscription, but otherwise you don't have to pay any money in order to advance the game. And they've got hundreds of games, lots of puzzles, lots of board games, lots of action games, if you're into that, you know, lots of what would be called role player games, or first person shoot 'em ups, if you will. To me, some of these games are too fast. My reflexes aren't what they were 20 years ago, but there's some really good puzzle games. And Kay and I both, we spend a lot of time, a lot of our free time, where we're just waiting for the guys to fix the car or waiting for somebody to finish shopping and come out to the car. We'll just sit there, pull up a game, and play it. Me, I actually read magazines more often than play the games. But with that Apple One subscription, you can do all of that, and they're included for free. So something else that I wanted to share with you today comes out of the Reader's Digest issue for September. And in the arena of mind games, again, staying in tech, as we age, our mind starts to go. You've noticed it. I notice it. My memory just isn't what it once was. Used to have like a perfect memory. I could remember everything. That's what got me through college. That's what made me successful, was a near photographic memory. But as I've gotten older, that memory has slipped. So one of the articles in Reader's Digest, they have these little short tips. This one's called Mind Over Migraine. A German study of migraine sufferers found that weekly sessions of mindfulness-based cognitive therapy reduced the frequency of their headaches by 40%. This may be due to the therapy's psychological benefits, decreased stress, anxiety, rumination, and catastrophizing. That's a horrible word, which removes potential migraine triggers. Yeah, so if you look up what is mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, it's puzzles. A Sudoku puzzle is a cognitive therapy, a mindful-based cognitive therapy. What just so happens that Sudoku is available in Apple Arcade. You just play that bad boy all day long. You got like five different levels that you can play. Puzzle games, working puzzles. Again, when you got hand-eye coordination to deal with, that's a mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. So the idea of subscribing to Apple to play games might not be something generationally we would buy into normally. But I'm here to tell you, actually, as a senior, as a boomer, playing video games can be good for your health. My mind is getting better, but my wife's mind is just sharp as a tack. She knits all the time, and then she'll play these video games. In fact, she had me install some video games on her computer so that in her downtime, she can play those games. I don't mind because I know that these puzzle games that she's playing is working on her mind. Now, something else that was in this same article in the Reader's Digest, again, September edition. Why is it okay to forget sometimes? Forgetting things can be frustrating or even worrying, but it might actually be good for our brains. Based on preclinical trials, researchers at Trinity College Dublin and the University of Toronto proposed that forgetting is something the brain does to prune clutter. On the flip side, their research suggests that buried memories could be brought back, even in people with amnesia. If further study supports these findings, more serious memory loss could be treated. Also, a new German study shows that cognitive processing speed generally begins to change after age 60. In the study, older participants took longer to settle on decisions, but mainly because they were more careful to avoid making mistakes, which is, of course, a smart thing if you want to make better choices. So when it comes to keeping our mind sharp, we've always been told, keep active, keep doing things. Well, with the inflation doing what it is, with the economy doing what it is, what gasoline prices cost doing what it is, it's not as easy for us to get out and socialize with our friends. Don't be afraid of technology. Grab that smartphone of yours. Of course, you can listen to the podcast while you're playing the games. So while you're listening to my voice, you could be playing Sudoku, working on that mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. So in the funny department, I got a few jokes that I got out of that same Reader's Digest article. Now, I want to insert here, do you have a joke you'd like to share with the listeners of Baby Boomers Radio? Email hello at babyboomersradio.com. Send me a clean joke, and if it looks like it's a good joke, I'll read it on the air. I'm not really what you would call a funny man, although I do like to use my sense of humor for having fun around, but I was supposed to give my wife an injection today, but she worried because she's seen my many struggles with Capri Sun straws. I thought that was a good one. I was in the chow line staring at a measly, lonely potato on my plate. Quote, is that all I asked? The cook. Taking pity, he asked, would you like to? Yes, please, I said. Sure thing. He reached over with his spatula and cut my potato in half. There, now you have two, he said. Now, okay, this is a little ragged, so if you got sensitive ears, brace yourself. But I had a friend send me this in email this morning. I emailed him right back. He said, you think it's okay that I read this on Baby Boomers Radio? He said, yeah, sure. It's titled Sex with Ghosts. A professor at Wayne State University in Detroit was giving a lecture on paranormal studies. To get a feel for his audience, he asked, how many people here believe in ghosts? About 90 students raised their hands. Well, that's a good start. Out of those who believe in ghosts, do any of you think you have seen a ghost? About 40 students raised their hands. That's really good. I'm really glad you take this seriously. Has anyone here ever talked to a ghost? To his surprise, about 15 students raised their hand. Has anyone here ever touched a ghost? 3 students raised their hand. He's mesmerized, the professor. He says, that's fantastic. Let me ask one question further. Have any of you ever made love to a ghost? Way back in the back of the room, a student raised his hand, Hamid. The professor takes off his glasses and said, son, in all the years I've been giving this lecture, no one has ever claimed to have made love to a ghost. You've got to come up here and tell us about your experience. The Middle Eastern student replied with a nod and a grin and began to make his way up to the podium. When he reached the front of the room, the professor asked, so Hamid, tell us, what is it like to have sex with a ghost? Hamid, kind of embarrassed, replied, I'm sorry, from way back there, I thought you said goats. Okay, that was out of line. I totally understand those email complaints that are going to come in. Please send that to hello@babyboomersradio.com. Thanks so much for stopping by and having a listen with us. Have a great day. God bless.
We've reached Ed's nap time. Thank you for tuning in to Baby Boomers Radio. Remember to click the subscribe button to get notice of when new content is added. Tell your friends about our program, and if you have a question you'd like answered, email hello@babyboomersradio.com. Baby Boomers Radio is a listener-supported production. Visit babyboomersradio.com/support to learn more.